Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, January 25th, 2017 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Ater Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today as the executive secretary. Mike is not wanting to stay in place, but some general information first on the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, they should also present their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, you may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, may either make a decision today, take the item under consideration for a decision at a later date, or continue the item to a later date. Items that are on consent calendar are matters that are generally considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of the items, please step forward. Otherwise, those items would be granted. We do have a few on the consent calendar today. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing. That's for items that are not on the agenda today. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Note, are you having problems hearing?
I'm partially deaf, so nothing wrong with you.
Okay. Is there anything I can do? Maybe speak a little louder?
I hear you fine now.
Okay, great. So due to the overwhelming number of variance cases, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to have a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet and provide your contact and mailing information. And those sign-up sheets are on the far wall there. It's very important because it's the decision letter which carries the appeal period. And so the decision may be appealed either to grant or deny the variance, may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and discuss the projects, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid disturbing others. The next variance is scheduled for, the next regularly scheduled variance hearing is scheduled on Wednesday, February 22nd. And audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. At least one housekeeping item. There was a case that was noticed, the mailed notice and the posted notice had a hearing today. That was for 1870 Market Street. This project sponsor had requested a continuance of that item to February 22nd, which we had intended to have on the agenda today, but it did not make it onto the agenda. Subsequent to that request, there was a discretionary review request that was filed earlier this week. As such, we will be re-noticing that for a joint hearing with the Planning Commission at a future date, depending on the commission's availability. But again, that was the project at 1870 Market Street. Is there anyone who is here for that item? So seeing none, that's good. Now we can move on to our consent items.
We have three items in our consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2016-013224 VAR, 534 Broadway, rear yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2016-010142 VAR, 4801 3rd Street, frontage variant sought. And lastly, item number three, case number 2016-012613 VAR, 3700 20th Street, exposure variant sought.
Is there anyone who would like to speak on any of these three items? And I'll repeat them again. 534 Broadway, item number two, 4801 3rd Street, and item number three, 3700 20th Street. Is there anyone who would like to speak on any of these items? Otherwise, they would be granted. So.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's not. We're with 5-4 Broadway, but it is.
So, if the project sponsors, there's no need to speak on this item. But if there's especially any member of the public or anyone who has concerns about any of these projects, I would ask that you step forward now. Otherwise, the requested variances would be granted. So, seeing no public testimony on either of these three items, close public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variances for items 1 through 3, and we can move on to our regular calendar.
First item on our regular calendar, item number 4, case number 2016-001652 VAR, 1033 and to 1037 Washington Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this project, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. So this project is a existing three-floor building, and it is seeking a rear yard variance for a vertical addition and the addition of a fourth floor. And I'd like to just start by showing a couple Google Earth images. I know you're familiar with the neighborhood, but it's an incredibly congested neighborhood, typical of this area of the city, older buildings built around 1900. And that's a sort of pullback view. And then a view from the east showing sort of the block on the building itself there, and that every contiguous property around the building itself is lacking the required rear yard. And then here is a view from the west, sort of showing the same around the subject property. The existing lot is a substandard lot size. It's 62 and a half feet deep, so it is already sort of a small lot. And you can see here the existing plot plan. A couple things to note on the existing plot plan. The existing building is already built out to the rear property line, and there is an enclosure for the rear stair. However, the stair itself is not enclosed. The proposed addition will enclose the rear stair. It's set back from the front per preservation requirements, and it has a setback for a light well here to meet the requirements of RDT for light to the adjacent property. Will be having a seismic upgrade on the bottom floor, as well as sprinklers added. In addition, the basement level will have off-street parking, as well as bike parking added. The addition on the roof, you can see here's the existing roof, and the new unit being added, which is the new fourth floor. You can see it's set back 10 feet per preservation's requirement. There is an exterior stair that provides a light setback for the adjacent property, which we work sort of closely with RDT to provide. And then you can see looking on the access to the roof deck, there's no penthouse, which is per both preservation and RDT's requirement. The rear stair has been entirely enclosed. That was a result of a process of working with DBI. We had two pre-application meetings with DBI, both almost 3 hours long. This is an older building. There's a lot of gray area in terms of the sort of complications of adding to it. And you can see here, here's our signs there. It doesn't fit very well, but we went through 12 items with multiple subpoints. And we did this after working closely with Andrew Perry, the planner. We sort of established a path forward that was working for both preservation and RDT. And once we sort of had a conceptual framework, we then went to DBI to make sure that you know, we were going to be able to build it in that manner. And we're able to work through some issues with them and make some minor changes that both preservation and RDT found acceptable. So sort of in summary, and I'm happy to share some other documents if necessary, but just paying attention to the time here. You know, in regard to item number one of the variance finding, the lot is a substandard lot. It's a smaller lot, and it's 1,750 square feet. And we're setting the building back based on preservation's requirements and RDT's requirements. And it's sort of resulting in the substandard lot size. There's a lot less area to build for a livable residential unit. And that's in relation to item number two. In relation to item number three, non-compliant rear yards are typical in this neighborhood. And item number four, this will be providing family housing. It'll be a rental unit. Existing rental units will be retained. And then item number five, again, family housing, also in a good transit-friendly neighborhood.
Thank you. Yeah. Just a couple of questions. So the seismic upgrade, is that a required or a voluntary upgrade?
It's... you know, I honestly don't know the answer. We haven't gone through full engineering yet, so I'm not sure if the fourth floor itself would trigger it. We have gone into this project with the intent to do a seismic upgrade from the beginning.
Okay. And then in terms of, I appreciate they're adding a unit. You're not adding it at the ground floor where there's existing parking, but it looks like it's more the topography that would prevent the addition of a dwelling unit under the existing space and the garage, because it's an upsloping lot and there would only be really light and air from the front facade. So did you look at that alternative, or was it always kind of looking at adding a unit on as a new fourth floor?
I don't think it was ever really a viable approach. It is a basement, a true basement. It is subgrade on all four sides. Even at the street level, the driveway slopes down significantly into the unit, and the street itself is sloping up along the front facade, so you could barely get a window in on the front facade.
And then it's my understanding the Section 311 notification expired on the 11th.
Correct.
Earlier this month, and there were no discretionary reviews filed.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the public comment on item number four for 1033 to 1037 Washington Street, is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it does add an existing dwelling unit. The lot is substandard, but it is has been reviewed by RDT, found to be compliant with the residential design guidelines and consistent with the neighborhood character, which is, as you noted, pretty tightly packed. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Moving
Sanchez.
To item number five, case number 2014.0964 VAR. 1228 Folsom Street, also known as 723 to 725 Clementina Street. Permitted obstructions, variance sought. Is the project sponsor here for this project on item number five?
I think there may have been some communication with staff that they may have been under the impression this was going to be a consent item. So let's hold this over to the end. But is there any public comment on this item? Has anyone shown up here for item number five for Folsom and Clementina? Let's hold this item over and see if the sponsor is delayed.
So we'll move to item number six. Case number 2016-009207 VAR, 670 Fifth Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this project here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You also have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Shervin Tajbakhsh. I'm the architect for 670 Fifth Avenue here on behalf of owner Benjamin New, who is also here and will be addressing you shortly. A quick overview of the project. The genesis of this project is the horizontal addition of an interior staircase to join the upper and lower stories of the client's unit. This is a young and growing family who would like to enjoy the space they already own on their lower level, but they cannot currently access without going outside first. The footprint of... So the footprint of the new stair structure falls within the permitted obstructions in the 12-foot extension. But due to the presence of pre-existing structures within that area, which cannot be removed, an exception to Code Section 136C25 is hereby requested. These pre-existing structures are things like the stairway from the neighbor's unit upstairs to the rear yard, the subject property's access to the rear yard, utility closets, laundry rooms. And removing these structures, we believe, and the spaces that I described, would pose an unreasonable hardship to the owner. The idea of doing the staircase within their existing footprint of their house was also explored, but it would pretty much eliminate a whole dining room or bedroom on the upper level and most of the family room on the lower level, so it wasn't feasible. We believe that the ability to connect two levels with an interior staircase is a substantial property right enjoyed by other properties in the same class of district that this owner would be denied if the variance request were not granted. Also, the property value of this unit would be lessened by not having direct access from the main floor to the lower level. Granting this variance will not in any way pose a detriment to the public welfare or injure other properties in the vicinity and is in keeping with the general purpose of the planning code. We had no attendance or comments from our initial neighborhood pre-app meeting, nor as of last night, this morning, any comments from anybody on this various hearing from the planner. So just quickly, connecting these two levels for this unit would greatly improve the quality of life for this family and hope you will consider it favorably.
Thank you. Do you have the existing ground floor plans
Yep.
that you could put on the overhead, please? Thank you. Could you zoom in? So has this been updated to show the
Yes.
correct conditions of the ground floor?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I think staff has advised you of the process that's required to move forward with the removal of the unit, because as this had initially been submitted, it did not show a kitchen on the ground floor.
Right.
But now we have to review this under Section 317 for removal of a illegal dwelling unit.
Well, I just wanted to bring to your attention, 2014, there was a permit pulled approved for the removal of the illegal unit. So that's been done. I can have the owner explain why there is features right now that they've put in the downstairs.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was an enforcement matter. The illegal unit was removed. There was a permit. Work was completed under that. But in the photos that we received this week or last week, it shows a kitchen on the ground floor, and we don't see any evidence of permits for that. So maybe some explanation would be
right.
helpful.
Hi, my name is Ben New. We're the property owners. And just to give a little bit of history of this building, my wife's family and I, we bought the entire building. As a TIC, we went through a condo conversion process. Her sister lives upstairs. Her parents, and my in-laws, actually are on the are part owners of the house as well. They don't live here. We have two kids. They have two kids, so they come and visit all the time for you know, to see their grandchildren. So the space downstairs has always been kind of a true kind of in-law unit, you know, and I'm not sure if that's you know the correct classification of it, but it's never been rented. It's never been used for anything other than that. And really, by doing this work here, we do want it to remove everything out of there. I think probably to respond to why it was, why the kitchen moved back in, that happened right around the birth of our second child, and they came for a month or almost close to 2 months to help us out with things. We had the stove. It was sitting in our garage because that's how we originally bought the place, put the stove back in, and then now we're trying to get rid of it, so...
Okay, so just what was the condition of that ground floor when you first bought the building?
It had the full kitchen in there.
Okay, so there was a illegal unit. And what year did you buy it?
2011.
So you bought it in 2011. Then you went through the condo conversion process. There was the inspection where DBI said there's no permit for this
right.
unit downstairs. You got the permit to remove it. That got that completed, got the condo conversion done, but then restored the kitchen because of, you know, your your in-laws came to help out, which is a very nice thing. But okay, so I don't have any issues with the scope of the project itself. I mean, you know, I think this is generally supportable and would have been inclined to grant this coming in, you know, before getting this new information. But I think we do need to be diligent in ensuring that the illegal unit is properly and legally removed. Could be through this process, but I am not prepared to make a decision today without kind of ensuring that we can follow the law and go through the proper removal now of the illegal unit. Unfortunately, this is the second time the illegal unit's going to be removed, but now the requirements under the planning code are much more stringent for doing this and require generally conditional use authorization at the planning commission to remove an illegal unit. So I would take the matter under advisement. I'll see if there's any public comment, but I think at this point we'd be inclined to take the matter under advisement and go through the process for removing the illegal unit.
And so would we need to come back here for this?
Not necessarily. I mean, it won't be another variance hearing. I mean, like I said, I'm generally inclined to support the variance, but I want to get this illegal unit issue resolved and make sure that we go through the proper process for that, which is generally a conditional use hearing, which would be a hearing here, but before the planning commission to remove the unit. There's generally a requirement to legalize these units when they're found rather than removing them. So it could be that because it was restored, that you may need to actually legalize this as a separate third unit.
But I mean, we couldn't even use the. I mean, it's zoned as a double occupancy area. We couldn't use it. And with our covenant with the upstairs, which is a separate party, we can't rent that space. Yeah. So I mean,
those CC&Rs are private agreements that the city is not party to, and we're not going to enforce those. But under the law, there in the last couple of years, there has been a lot of change. Even though it is a zoning district where only two units may generally be allowed. There is a process for legalizing units that allows legalized units to exceed the density. This may not qualify for that given when it was restored, but there's also this another provision called the ADU provision, accessory dwelling units, which allow for dwelling units in excess of the density. So staff will need to go through this process with you, and the Planning Commission may grant that request, but also may require that the third unit be legalized as is, because there would be some provisions for allowing it. Do you have any other questions? I mean, I think it's probably best to contact staff and they'll discuss more of the process with you. There is some possibility that you may be exempt from the process. We'll need to look and see some of the history of the unit. Given the fact that it predated your ownership of the building, I think that you're probably going to have to go through this process with the Planning Commission. But we'll work with you on that. Our staff will work with you on this.
Okay. I mean, it's never been rented in our time there. It's just sits there.
And that's helpful. That may be enough. But staff will need to work with you through the application process. So
okay. All right.
Thanks. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 6 for 670 Fifth Avenue? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. As I said, I'm generally supportive of the variance, but we'll take the matter under advisement at this point so we can resolve the issue with the illegal unit and the ground floor, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-014950 VAR, 2125 Hyde Street. Usable open space and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. Project sponsor for 2125 Hyde Street. Okay, moving to item number 8, case number 2016-012535 VAR, 47.
I was here to comment on that one. Is that?
Oh, on Hyde Street? Yep. Please step forward.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
You have three minutes, ma'am.
Otherwise, we'll hold it over till the sponsor. I might want to make a comment about the size of the crowds, but I know that would.
Okay. I'm here to comment about 2125 Hyde Street. I happen to know the building well because about 40 years ago, I lived there. But I'm also representing Russian Hill Neighbors. I'm on the board of Russian Hill Neighbors and on the Design, Zoning, and Land Use Committee. And we looked at it last night, and whereas we don't have objection to the conversion to four units per se, we are concerned that it be done in a very sensitive way. It is a beautiful little complex. It has two houses in front and apartments connecting across the back. And the apartments in the back could be made to incorporate with the front house that they want to make four units into, but it needs to be done very carefully and sensitively. That was, and we did have a concern. It looks like the staircase in the center is going to be replaced to make the four units. We just have a question. Could the old staircase be saved? Maybe not, but we did have that question. And also wanted to make note that at least 40 years ago, there was no heating in that unit. The only heating in the entire unit was the fireplace in the living room, and I'm hoping they're putting in some kind of central heating.
I did see that on the plans. Looks like they did have some units, HVAC units, in each of the...
Yeah, and I was trying to read the plans on my computer, and it was just too small. I was trying to see it, but it was just too small. But those were the two concerns, that could the staircase be saved, and that the... that I guess there's not going to be any change to the windows, which surprises me that they could do that. But we were concerned that it still looked intact, because that's a gorgeous little area up there. If you ever step up in there, it's just a charming little oasis in the city.
Thank you. So, I mean, unfortunately, the project sponsor isn't here. I mean, I have concerns about the project, and actually about... not so much the density, but the quality of the units, because they're creating very small units, and it hadn't been my intent based upon this to support the project. I would prefer that they, even if they are seeking a variance, they'll need to seek a variance to add any units given the open space requirements, but I think they could add units and maybe not trigger the exposure variance, and they're taking one, I think it's a three-bedroom unit, making four very small studios. I would prefer to have... you know, at least one or two bedrooms in some of those units.
It's a really interesting configuration. It's what I would stereotypically call a fabulous party house, because downstairs is a huge grand dining room and the huge grand living room and the butler's pantry and the kitchen and everything. So it's a lovely thing. And I could see we do need more units in the city, so maybe. Yeah. But then families lose housing, so.
Yeah, I think that's my concern, so.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, thank you.
Any other public comment on item number 7 for 2125 Hyde Street? Mm-hmm. Seeing there's no project sponsor and we are at 10 o'clock, I mean, I'm prepared to take action and to deny the requested variance. They can work with staff to propose a project that would, I think, retain more semblance of family housing, at least one or two bedroom units. I think that they could revise their plans as such, but I would not support the project as currently proposed, so inclined to deny that variance.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2016-012535VAR, 47 Atalaya Terrace, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor for this project? 47 Atalaya Street, Terrace.
People on strike? Or
I know, they're not showing up.
Okay, well, let's pull this item over, and we will move on to the next item where...
Okay, moving to item number 9, case number 2014.1012V, 2888 Sacramento Street, rear yard variance sought. Oh, we have a sponsor. Thank you for showing today.
Thank you. Wow.
More than welcome.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Thayer Hopkins, and I'm the project architect. And my client, Liz Fetter, was planning on being here. She had a prior commitment early, and we thought that other project sponsors would show up. So I will speak for her. The property in question exists at the corner of 2888 Sacramento Street, at the corner of Sacramento and Divisadero. And It is a rare Queen Anne structure that was built in 1889 with subsequent additions over the years, beginning in 1911 and continuing through the life of the residents. Liz purchased the property in 2000, where it had been used as a multi-unit building with a nonprofit on the ground floor, and this house was in a state of disrepair, and Liz has made numerous repairs during her ownership to save and restore the property. The house is set back from Sacramento Street between 18 and 27 feet, predominantly 27 feet, which condition you can see on the historic Sanborn map, which still exists today. The house is also set back from Divisadero Street by approximately 8 feet. So this pre-existing historical condition creates an atypical lot configuration in which the open space occupies nearly 50% of the property along the Sacramento Street frontage. The planning department considers the side facing Divisadero to be the front of the building, and therefore Section 134 of the Planning Code requires that this property, which is zoned RH2, must have a rear yard depth of 45% of the lot depth, and because the depth of the property is 81.25 feet, the required rear yard is therefore 36.5 feet, which is in the area in which our proposed alterations would occur. This area is at the rear of the Queen Anne, therefore, where numerous non-original separate additions have been made over the years to create parking, storage, and utility areas. The proposed work stabilizes the structure seismically. You can see the existing and proposed plans. Essentially, the existing garage is approachable from a ramp that is 8 to 10 feet above the street. And the retaining walls surrounding that area and the concrete have all deteriorated and are in a state of virtually uncollapse. And what we are doing is lowering the garage to 1 foot above grade level and adding a second garage next to that. The building is a four-unit building, and there was an NSR in 1993 that created a four-family use, which it exists today. The plane of this garage is set back from Sacramento Street, 18 feet of our proposed garage, and it creates a safer and improved pedestrian access serving the units, and the new entry of which will replicate the original main site entry stair on the corner of Visadero and Sacramento. So we're trying to create a similar circumstance for that. The project is located in a, quote, high-injury corridor identified through the city's Vision Zero program, and we believe that this will significantly improve the vehicular access and pedestrian access to the house. The owner has had two prior architects who have had to resign for personal reasons. As was begun in 2013, and many changes over the life of this entire process have been incorporated, including meetings with preservation and planners. We've had two pre-application meetings conducted in 2014 and 2016 with positive comment from the neighborhood. The project is exempted from environmental evaluation, and the SF Department of Health has issued a waiver from the health code for the Maher Ordinance. We believe that the property configuration, which is completely atypical, creates exceptional circumstances that do not generally apply to other properties or uses in the same class of district, and that little enforcement would create a hardship. We also feel that that the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the property, both to repair and create to add one additional parking space, which would bring it into more conformance with the general requirement, given that there are four units. We don't believe that the granting of the variance would be material detrimental in any way to public welfare. In fact, the two pre-application meetings, we had no negative comment. And several of the owners have asked Liz when the project will start. We also do not believe that this will be adversely affect the master plan in any way. So thank you for your consideration, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Just wanted to confirm, on this item, there will be no new curb cut, even though you're adding parking. It'll to what exists now. There won't be any change to the curb cut configuration.
That's correct. We didn't want to, for a number of reasons, actually, we wanted to keep that more minimal, and because the plane of the proposed garages are set back 18 feet from the property line, it allows a car to, to make the necessary curve to get into that second garage space.
Okay. And then there's no building permit on file, so there's been no Section 311 notification. Is that correct?
That is correct. We'd like to initiate that as soon as we can after, depending upon how...
the outcome, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 942888 Sacramento Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, close the public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the kind of shallower than typical lot depth, the siting of the historic structure on the property, and the fact that it is the historic structure. And we can move on to the next item. I know ma'am had some of this question about the Washington Street project. So that item was heard at the beginning of the calendar, and that item was granted.
I came to oppose it, and I couldn't find parking. I was driving 200 miles.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. So the you can. What I would suggest that you do is you put your name on the on the sign-in sheet, and we will mail you a copy of the decision letter.
It said it will not start before 9:30.
If you could speak into the, if you could speak in the microphone, please.
I drove 130 miles.
Okay.
And it said not before 9:30. No one told me it will be the first on the agenda.
So the agenda is published on our website. It is at the.
No one told me that it's published on the website.
Okay. Well,
I came all prepared.
So again, the public notice does say that it won't. It'll start no earlier than 9:30. It did start at 9:30. The item was heard. We had the opportunity for public comment at that time. The project sponsor has since left.
Can I appeal it?
Yes, and so that's what I'm telling you, is that you can sign in the sign-in sheet.
Uh-huh.
Then we will send you a copy of the decision letter. You have 10 days to appeal that to the Board of Appeals. There was a Section 311 neighborhood notification on that project, which did expire already, so you didn't avail yourself of that.
I was not aware. This is the first time I'm going through the whole process. It's all obvious to me, but I'm 70 years old, and it's really unfair the way the whole city treats San Francisco. And as a result, I'm going to lose Lightwell. And you are going to totally destroy facade. You are going to build on a house that survived the earthquake. Building was built in 1900, in the year 1900. How can you put an addition to block view? Our building, my family's building, was built in 1912. It's 107 years old. These are historical buildings. Tourists stop in front of these buildings. And it's just terrible, I was restoring the building next door with my hall and with my daughter. We were scrubbing the stairs. Everything is taken with tourists stopping front of these buildings.
Thank you.
Cable car
thank
goes.
You for your comments.
But you are totally insensitive. You didn't. This building was not even reviewed by preservation.
We have the opportunity for public comment. That has passed. Again,
I submitted my comment to Andrew Perry.
We did receive the
and
comments.
You didn't consider it.
We did consider those comments.
What did you say?
We believe that the project has been sensitively designed, and I understand that you may disagree with that, but there, first, in terms of the historic building, they are setting back the new addition substantially from the front property line. It has been reviewed by our preservation staff. They will be maintaining the facade. They'll also be doing a seismic upgrade of the building to ensure that it will last into the future. You can appeal this decision, as I have advised you.
This decision this is against Secretary of the Interior, because you are ruining the facade of the building.
Eva, could you please turn off
the mic?
Turn off the mic. I'm sorry. This is completely out of order. You had the opportunity to speak if you were to come on time. So now, please, you can sign in the sign-in sheet, and you can appeal the decision to the Board of Appeals. Happy to, if you can contact the planner, you can further discuss your concerns, but those have been reviewed. So we can move on to the next item on the agenda.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2016-008085VAR, 50 Craigmont Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Michael Yamaguchi. I'm the property owner and the sponsor. The variance is requesting 14 feet of their rear yard setback. The property was built in 1951, and at that time, the setback was 15 feet. Subsequently, the setback, rear yard setback, was increased to 25% of the property, or 15 feet, whichever is greater. So as a result, both the building and the deck, which is in need of replacement, is non-compliant with the code. Therefore, we're requesting a 14-foot variance to the rear yard setback. Now, in the interest of time, I've set forth my arguments in my memorandum. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer those.
Just confirming that the neighborhood notification expired on December 8th and there were no discretionary requests filed. Okay, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Right. Item number 10 for 50 Craigmont Avenue. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, it closed public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2016-008217VAR, 969 Burnett Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have also 5 minutes.
A little slow there. My name is Charles Perry. I'm the project engineer. This property is a six-unit apartment building on Twin Peaks, basically at the corner of Burnett and Portola. Let's see. Can I see this here? Ah, there we go. So I have a kind of partial collection of plans that I've sent you. Overall view of the building where I'm pointed here, that's the building in question. So it has a stunning view from Twin Peaks overlooking the city. And this variant stems from basically three issues. First, the owner purchased the building roughly a year and a half, 2 years ago. When he purchased it, the rear balconies were basically rotted to the point of being unsafe and required being completely replaced. It's not fix a joist here or put a board there. What I discovered when I designed the plans to replace these balconies was that they're in the existing setback and a variance is required simply to repair them. So that's one aspect of the variance request, is we just want to repair them. The second aspect of the variance request is the owner is also on the mandatory seismic retrofit list. They wish to add an accessory dwelling unit as kind of the pat on the head for doing the seismic retrofit. So the second part is when they add this accessory dwelling unit, they want to give it a balcony that is comparable to the balconies above it. The third aspect of this is the owner also would like to extend these balconies from their current configuration an additional 2 feet. Currently, the plan of these buildings... So currently the plan of the buildings, the balconies taper from 4 feet to 6 feet, and basically they're just not usable. You can't get a table on there. You can certainly stand on them. And so by extending them an extra 2 feet, then they taper from 6 feet to 8 feet. You can now put a table out there, sit, and enjoy the view. So I'll call that the icing on the cake as part of the variance request. Any questions?
No, thank you. So the I think building permit's been submitted, but the neighborhood notification has not begun. Is that
we
correct?
Have been through the pre-application meeting. I did the 300-foot notification. I think there's a – I mean, I'm new to the process, so forgive me for my ignorance. So there's a 150-foot notification.
Right, which is
– We just got the materials to Veronica Flores yesterday.
Okay.
So I think that's where everything is. The retrofit has been approved, and the ADU – We just followed the Costa-Hawkins agreement yesterday.
Okay. Good. You made a lot of progress there.
And getting well-educated also.
Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item number 11 for 969 Burnett Avenue. Seeing no public comment.
Sure.
My name is Gary Snow, and I actually live in the building. There's another tenant here, but there were several that couldn't be here today, so I'm just going to give some comments. Definitely in favor of the deck variance. The decks are a huge safety risk and have been unusable for over a year due to excessive termite and dry rot damage. The extension obviously would be a great thing. We were not really encroaching on anybody. It's not affecting anybody. And it would be nice to have decks that you can actually use and not just stand on. The property is in need of other repairs and updates that will hopefully be addressed at some point, but I'm glad that they're doing the earthquake retrofitting and all that. I think the biggest issue is probably that the owners and managers never had any meeting or talked to any tenants or told anybody what was going on. You just saw a posting of this hearing. We saw a permit for the earthquake retrofitting. So there's really not a great explanation unless you can read the plans properly and really get an understanding of what the scope of work is and the intrusive nature that it's obviously going to have for a very, very long period of time. So none of that was explained, so we don't have any idea how they're handling it. In addition, one of the tenants loses her parking spot. They have two-car tandem parking, and they're taking one away. She's never been informed of that. Two tenants are losing storage, huge storage units. And then some of the facilities are being moved to a lower garage area that's open to the outside, which is the laundry. So now there will be seven units, 14, 16, 20, 30 people using one washer and dryer in a area that may not be very convenient. So those are pretty much the concerns that the tenants that have talked to me about it anyway have.
Thank you.
Yep.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Belle Ball. I'm the other tenant. I've been in this building for 11 and a half years. When I moved in, it was under the original owner's management company, and we have this new owner now. It is so hard to get any information out of them that I'm confused, and I'm baffled as to what comes first, the earthquake retrofit or sticking this new unit in. I've been there 11 and a half years. Every day on the news you hear, get ready, the big one's, going to come any minute. So it seems to me that building this new apartment, cramming this new apartment in there that's going to be under three stories in a soft-story building before we do an earthquake retrofit is putting the cart before the horse. My husband and I are the tenants that have the two-car parking that we're going to lose half of. I don't know what we're going to do with our other car. And we're going to lose our storage. We haven't heard anything about that. This management just doesn't seem to communicate with us at all. They're very motivated by the dollar. The first thing they did when they took over the building was come into our garage and put a lock on the water faucet that, that you would stick a hose in so that you could water plants out front or whatever. I guess I thought everybody was washing their cars. I've never seen anyone wash their car there, but it was so bizarre to come home and find a lock on the water. I don't I don't understand. They're very hard to communicate. One of the first things they did was try to take the use of the elevator from my husband and I. My husband's 100% disabled veteran, and I had a broken leg a couple of years ago, and I would have been stuck in that apartment for 3 months if I hadn't been able to use the elevator. And they actually tried to get us to sign something saying we would never ride in the elevator again. I notice on these plans it's referred to as a hoist / dumbwaiter. It is an elevator. It's small. It's like phone booth size, but it is for human conveyance. But that's kind of getting off the point. I understand that they would want to put in a new apartment and, you know, monetize this building as much as they can, but it just seems to me that doing the apartment before they do their earthquake retrofit would be a mistake. And so I'm looking for, some clarity on that. And I guess that's all, if you all have any questions.
Thank you. Just a few questions. So who's the property owner or manager that you deal with?
It's a real estate company called Amore that's on Laguna Street.
But you're not getting a lot of love from them, I guess.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, I don't think anyone is. Okay. Out of 6 tenants, 3 of our units have been occupied by people that have been there, us 11 and a half years, 2 other people, 2 other units much longer than that. And I know that the neighbor on my floor, which is the top floor, has had leaks forever that are still not fully being addressed, and mold and problems from
when
that.
When did they take over?
I assume the same year and a half ago when this new owner, the owner is they're out of Hong Kong, never had a name of an individual that owns the building.
All right.
So they're kind of mysterious.
I'll ask the project sponsor to respond to those comments. I mean, a few things that I can maybe shed some light on. You may have a process through the rent board to seek some redress here because it may be considered a reduction in services, so you may be able to renegotiate your rent. But that's I can't advise you on that, but I would say to contact the rent board and it kind of apprise them of the situation.
Right.
In terms of the seismic upgrade, the city does have a requirement that they upgrade the building, and there is a deadline for doing so. One of the kind of incentives or trade-offs for imposing this requirement, the Board of Supervisors did allow initially that if you're doing the required seismic upgrade, you could add a dwelling unit, which is what they're seeking to do here. So usually what we see is that the ADU, that dwelling unit, is added at the same time as the seismic upgrading because they're tearing apart the ground floor to do the seismic upgrading. It wouldn't make any sense to install the unit to just have to kind of chop it open to do the seismic upgrading.
Right.
So yeah, I would say that would be done at the same time. We do break up the permits because it takes longer to go through the process for this dwelling unit than it is for the seismic upgrade. So I think the engineer noted that permit has already been issued for the seismic upgrade. But even though that's already been issued, they would most likely do the work together. But I'll ask the project sponsor to answer kind of what he's aware of. Right. But thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thanks. Is there any other public comment on item number 11 for 969 Burnett Avenue? Seeing on project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal, so free to use that time, but I do have questions about how you may be addressing the concerns that they've raised and the notifications.
Yes. Okay, so first off, I am delighted to sit and talk with you offline because I only get 3 minutes here, so you got me. The sequence is get the text done first. I'm terrified of that because that's my name and stamp out there, so I don't know how to emphasize that point strongly enough. The second will be to do the seismic retrofit because, as we all know, planning is backed up minimum of 8 months just to get stuff in there. There's so much work going on. During that retrofit, we really won't be doing anything to the ADU on this building because it happens to be above kind of the main retrofit area.
Okay.
This is on a hillside, so we have 2 soft stories. We have a downhill soft story and an uphill soft story. So what we're going to try and do is basically box out the ADU. So as we do the balcony repair, assuming you grant the variance and you allow us to put the new balcony in, then we put in the windows and sliding glass doors for access to that balcony, but we leave, in essence, the garage as it is. Then when we do the retrofit, we're stripping the walls off in the garage. We're putting our plywood in there, our shear nailing, the hold-downs, et cetera. So when we're done, we'll have a box, and it will be seismically safe. Several months down the road, when planning and DBI are finally able to get through, you know, all their backlog of projects, then we add in the ADU. I will check with you on the reduction of parking spaces. I think that we've done a reshuffling of them, but I'm not certain. So I can walk you through the plans. I could be right. I could be wrong on that. And then with regards to reduction services, wish I could help you. That's going to be a negotiation. My understanding is it's fairly formulaic.
If you can speak into the microphone to be a little better.
I'm sorry. So the parking, as I understand, is fairly formulaic. The rent board says parking in this neighborhood is worth X. There you are. You want to take away parking space, the tenant's going to be granted X reduction in rent. Life's easy. So
okay.
It's not really a negotiation.
And do you have an idea about the kind of disturbance there may be when you're replacing the decks? Since they're cantilever decks, those joists run back into the building some substantial amount, I would think.
The sequence that I've laid out with the contractors, we've gone through our pre-bid inspections. So the first balcony, let's
pop this up. So it's, I think I can make it clear here. Let's go to the next page. So this balcony that I'm pointing to, that would be the new balcony we put in. Mm-hmm. For this one, we open up the ceiling as we do the retrofit, or right before the retrofit. We put in new joists parallel to the existing joists, cross-bolt them. We've got a cantilever. For the deck above, again, we can work from the garage space. We have two garage levels. So the upper garage level, we open up the ceiling there, take out the old joists, slide in the new joists. Life's easy. Where it gets unpleasant for you and where we will beg your leave and you will probably learn to hate me is when we do this level balcony right here where I'm indicating and this level balcony. So there are three apartments that we have to enter.
So if you could do the microphone again, just so we can...
We enter the unit, we pull out the ceiling, we'll do asbestos abatement when we do that. Take out the old joists, put in the new joists, and we have the new cantilever. It's an unpleasant process, but they will have access to their kitchen and the rest of their units, but they'll lose their apartment. And the way I'm setting up the contract is there's a penalty clause in there. So the contractors have a strict amount of time to get this done, and then we start taking money out of their hide. So we all want this done really fast because it's an inconvenience, and the owner has to pay the tenants whatever they agree to.
Thank you. So with that, we'll close the public hearing. I think, you know, this is generally a supportable project. I think we're even hearing that the tenants support the project, but there have been concerns about the management of the building, communication or lack thereof with the tenants.
Right.
My opinion, it is, even though the code may not require it, it is unacceptable that they're finding out about it through notices on the building when, you know, there should be some better communication between the landlord and the tenants.
And I agree. I will take that to the owners. I have no problem communicating with them, especially when I send a bill.
No, and you've done a great job here, I think, in addressing some of those concerns. I mean, I would support the variance and be inclined to grant the variance, but I want to hold any decision letter until the property owner has had a time to have at least an outreach meeting with the tenants. I invite all the tenants to a meeting,
Okay. Describe
the project, what's going on, what the impacts will be, just so there's that clear communication. Because, you know, through this process, there are numerous permits, there's numerous appeal processes, there's the discretionary review path, there's appeals of this decision letter. It sounds like there's no reason to go down that path, but I could see it if the project sponsor is not communicating with the neighbors and informing them of what's going on and doing what they can do to address those concerns. So I would require that there be at least one community meeting or neighbor meeting, with tenant meeting.
I will do is right now, when I leave this, I will get that tenant meeting set up.
Right.
I will just circumvent the management, I'll leave that without further comment.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And my pleasure.
So with that, public hearing is closed, and we can move on to the next item.
That'll be the last item number 12, case number 2015-017999 VAR, 2090 Vallejo Street.
Sorry, one second. So we do have, you're here for item number 7, which was, we did hold the public hearing. There was one member of the public here. I'm not supportive of the variance as proposed, so I did make a decision to deny the variance as proposed. I suggest that you work with staff. The concerns were, staff can explain the concerns, but it's about taking one relatively large unit, creating four very small units out of it. Would prefer an alternative that may still seek a variance, but would retain more sizable units and maybe reduce the unit count. It could be three units, it could be two units, but just not supportive of the project as proposed.
Thank you so much. So,
thank you. Sorry. So we haven't called that. We'll call that after this next item.
Yeah. We'll finish up item number 12, then we go back to 8, okay? So let me finish this off again. So item number 12, case number 2015-017999 VAR, 2090 Vallejo Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. Good morning.
Thank you. Sorry you had to wait so long, but thank you.
It wasn't a long wait today, huh? For your record, I'm Mary Gallagher, and I'm here with John Lum and Brett Walters, the architect. So the proposal is to add a one-story, largely subterranean rear addition to accommodate a three-car garage with a rooftop deck. It adds about 1,500 square feet. An existing two-car garage within the house will be converted to living space. So the site is a large and steep corner lot with a grade of about 21% going down Buchanan Street and having its frontage on Vallejo. This is an A-rated building. The adjacent building to the east here is a very large non-complying structure and non-complying use, a 7-unit apartment building that goes well into its required yard and which has windows which overlook the driveway and maneuvering space of the project site. And then below is a close-up of that space as entered from Buchanan Street. So here are the existing and then also the proposed site plans. The red line is the rear yard line. So right now what you do is you enter the driveway from Buchanan. You go up that steep driveway to a large open area, which is the maneuvering area. You turn 90 degrees and you go into the garage, which is part of the house. This is a less than ideal situation because of the steepness of the driveway for the driver, because the vehicular turning area also presents conflicts with other more traditional, usable open space uses, and because the residents of the apartment building next door look directly down on this vehicular moving area with the attendant fumes and noise. The proposal then would put a new garage in that same maneuvering area. Again, it would be mostly underground with a garage door right on Buchanan Street, so you'd turn right into the garage. That upper space, which is now for vehicles, would be the more traditional usable open space for the residents, thereby removing the fumes and noise for the neighbors. So here's also a graphic of the rear facades existing and proposed, and that red line is the existing grade. So what you can see is that the new garage is less than 3 feet from grade for all but that driveway area where it rises at its highest point of from 7 feet to 7 feet, 10 inches. So if the more typically used 3-foot exemption were the only one applicable to this project, then it would be just this area that needs a variance. However, Section 136C26 extends that exemption up to 7 feet when the lot grade is over 15%. The lot grade in this situation is 12 degrees or 21%, and so it falls under that exemption. And so what we have, can't quite see, I'll get all of this in, but is a variance that is only for that aspect of the garage that is over 7 feet. So we've got maximum height of 10 inches in this direction. This is the rear facade. This is the side facade. Again, the greatest dimension is 10 inches over here, and then an area looking down. That's the coverage, but again, the greatest height is 10 inches, and then it goes down this way in all directions. And so You know, this is obviously a very small variance, a very small volume for a variance. It's a variance that truly arises from a very unique lot situation, which is that steeply curving driveway. If the variance weren't granted, the entire roof would have to be dropped about 10 inches, so all the way across, which would leave us with some steps down from the interior to the outside space, or then a step on the outdoor space at the rear. And we feel that those steps would be, if not a hardship, certainly a practical difficulty, which is another standard also that can be traded for or used in, instead of hardship. In summary, almost all the garage is permitted by roof. By right, the roof deck will replace a vehicular moving area, and so we'll remove noise and fumes from the rear yard to the benefit of the neighbors. The variance is a very small volume, which will be unnoticeable to neighbors. The denial of the variance would not benefit any neighbors or even the concept of the rear yard. And this variance would allow the transformation of steeply sloped driveway into truly usable open space. If you want to add a sixth finding, which I think you should today, we showed up for this hearing.
Thank you. So one, or maybe a couple questions. So the proposal has a new elevator kind of extending down an existing elevator to this garage level to provide access. And okay. So currently there is an elevator, but you have to walk upstairs from the garage to get to that. Okay, so this does provide improved accessibility into the unit. And it is a pretty large garage. It was showing three cars as would be allowed for the
it is a large
family
garage.
Is there any you know, possibility of putting some other features in there that would prevent additional cars beyond what would be allowed as accessory parking? I mean,
we could separate, say, by the bicycle space or other storage space very easily.
They have an extended family that lives with them. And their son has disabilities, so that's why they need that. They actually have a live-in help.
Okay. So, yes, we can, separate it with a step or something.
But further, we can further discuss with staff kind of some ways of mitigating that, especially for future property owners and would want to ensure that it's not overparked as provided under the code. But
sure. Okay,
thank you. Okay. Is there any public comment on this item number 12 for 2090 Vallejo Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Generally supportive of the variance, inclined to grant the requested variance. I appreciate the responsiveness of you guys in providing those additional graphics too, which were helpful, and additional explanations. So thank you.
Okay, reverting back to item number 8.
Back to 8. We actually have a couple that we need to go back to, right? Because there was also the
number 5.
Folsom Street.
So is the sponsor for item number 5, 1228 Folsom Street here?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. So we'll go back to you first.
Okay, so we'll start with number 5, then followed by number 8. Okay, so let me read off. Item number 5, case number 2014-0964 VAR. 1228 Folsom Street, also known as 723 to 725 Clementina Street. Permitted obstructions, variance sought. Okay, Mr. Project Sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I can be pretty brief here. We're asking for a...
Please approach the mic so that...
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. We're asking for a relatively small variance. It's just on the Folsom Street side, so it's a through lot, but we're in compliance with our projections per Section 136 on the Clementina side, so it's only the Folsom Street frontage that requires the variance. The variance is basically... I have a diagram to kind of describe this variance to a certain degree. I may have 8.5 by 11 of it, which is better.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, I guess I hit the power button. Sorry.
That's all right.
It amounts to, if I don't know if there's any, if it's clear what we're asking for, but we're trying to create a slightly unique architectural expression on the front of the building. We've been working with the preservation group in city planning, as well as the urban design team, and came up with a solution where we're not actually using the full amount of Section 136. I know we are not in exact conformance, But we're basically amounting to a 7% projection of what we could use. Mm-hmm. So that's what this diagram is intending to show, is that the red lines show what would be allowed by code, and the red is basically the amount of variance that we're proposing. And just to further clarify, I mean, just maybe an image of the front of the building. So it's really just to create a little bit of architectural interest and depth to the facade. The amount of the actual projection over the public right-of-way is 1 foot. And part of that 1 foot, it should be noted, that is in compliance. It's not that the whole facade bumps out 1 foot. It's the maximum component of part of this architectural expression. So, for example, the vertical components that you see that are kind of these borders, those might be out of compliance, but almost everything within there would be in compliance, whether it's considered part of a bay window or part of an architectural feature, like an architectural ornamentation that's also covered in Section 136. Unless there's any questions, I think that kind of describes what we're
No, thank you. Appreciate that. I know this item was also subject to a large project authorization that was heard by the Planning Commission at the beginning of the month. It had been intended that this variance would be heard jointly, but of a noticing glitch, it was not, so we did add it to this calendar. But at that hearing, the Planning Commission did approve the LPA for the project.
They did. We got a unanimous approval from the LPA.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on item number 5 for 1228 Folsom /723 Clementina Street? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it's a minor deviation, not seeking what would fully be allowed under Section 136, but a minor deviation for ensuring that there is an appropriate and contextual design. So, thank you. We can move on to our other item. That
okay, and lastly, our item number 8, case number 2016-01, 2535 VAR, 47 Adelias Terrace, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Daniel Ewald. I do apologize for not being here earlier. I did just want to point out that the driver of this project is essentially we have a small house that has 3 bedrooms that all share 1 bath. So we are trying to add a second bath, which then needs to push out in the rear. I also wanted to point out that on this block of Atalaya, there are 8 houses on each side of the street, and all of the adjacent houses, our project is the one on the left here, all of the adjacent houses on that block already exceed or go out as far or beyond what we are proposing. From this image, you can see that there is a very small sunroom on the back of the building, and basically we are proposing to square that off and sort of unify the back facade. I'm available if you have any questions.
Thank you. Let's see if I have any. So the Section 311 notification is still pending, has not gone out, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item number 8 for 47 Atalaya Terrace? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Declined to grant the requested variance. That is the last item, although out of order, on the agenda. We will reconvene next on February 22nd. Is there any general public comment for today? Seeing none, we close the hearing and reconvene on February 22nd. Thank you.